السلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته. And welcome to the Ulama Profile with myself, Ubaidullah Boja. Alhamdulillah, it is only the grace and the mercy of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that He gives people the strength and He gives people the ability to be able to achieve what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala wants from us. Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala has made it such that Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala chooses people to spread the deen of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in the different parts of the world. And today we speak about one of the ulama, Mufti Rafiq Mirun Sahab Rahimahullah, who's from Mauritius, Mauritius being part of the African continent geographically, so he's also part of our country, part of our continent at least, and we ask that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala make it such that those that know Mufti Sahab, those that knew him, those who were family to him, Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala grant them the ability to be patient in the loss of Mufti Sahab, grant them ni'ma al-badal in their country, and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala save from any fitna happening after the death of Hazrat Mufti Sahab. To speak about him today, we have one of the ulama that graduated in Darul Ulum Zakaria, Mufti Makuji Sahab, who's live on air with us. Mufti Sahab, assalamu alaikum.
Wa alaikum assalam wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh wa alam.
Mufti Sahab, so nice to speak to you after such a long time. Hope everything is well in Mauritius, inshallah.
Yeah, alhamdulillah. Everything is okay, alhamdulillah. Except
Mufti Sahab, why are we speaking about Mufti Mirun Sahab, rahmatullahi alayhi? Perhaps to start at the beginning, can Mufti Sahab give us some brief family background regarding Mufti Mirun?
Hazrat Mufti Mirun Sahab, he was born in Mauritius, and he was born in a poor family. And alhamdulillah, but they were deen conscious, so that he remembers during his childhood that he accompanied a Pakistan Jamaat that was in Mauritius at that time for Gasht, and they gave him dua that Allah Ta'ala make him a good alim. So after that, he studied Hibs in here in Mauritius, Phoenix. That was only, I believe, only Darulum of Hibs that was existing that time. So he studied in there. And then he was sent to, with a group of students to India. So now his family is, alhamdulillah, is a good family, and from a background or a family that is poor, and they were cultivating land and all that in the area there. So practically Mufti Sahab is was grown up in a good environment in the village of Trioli there, and he used to tell me that when he was, you see, Hazrat Mufti Sahab was always fit and young. Even at this age, he was always fit and young. That is, he was fit to walk. So he told me that once he was walking down, so he could remember his childhood down the road there in that village. So good memories that he kept. But that village later on became commercial, became tourism and all that. So he told me that all that is in front of him, but he's not concerned of the dunyavi development. From young age, he had the zuhud. He never wished to accumulate wealth and all that, so he dedicated himself for the deen of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So his mother was alive until about 10-12 years old, 12 years ago. So his mother was with him practically after his studies. So when he started to live, had a family, so he used to make khidmat of his mother, and his mother stayed with him in the house and with the wife and children. So and the mother passed away in his house. So Alhamdulillah, he's from a good family, poor family, but pious family.
Alhamdulillah. Mujtisab, you made mention that he started his youth obviously in one of the local Darul Ulooms, which was one of perhaps the only one of the very few ones that were there. Thereafter, where did the Mujtisab go and study his Alim Fadil course?
You see, Alhamdulillah, there was some our ulamas, the pioneers ulama, we call them, that was here in Mauritius that time. Although if we look at them now, some will say that these people wasn't so good, they didn't have good istidad and capacity to do the work of deen. But these pioneers, ulama, have, alhamdulillah, pioneered the deen of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in this island here. So they had the fikr, the shu ulama here, they had the fikr to, for the future of ta'aleem, for the future of maktab, for the future of deen in this small island. So they came themselves, they were imported from India, and they had some fikr. They're mostly Gujarati, so they had the fikr of Deen of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So they get together and they try to send a batch of students together with Mufti Sahib also, a batch of students that to send them to India to study. So first, Mufti Sahib told me he was sent to Talkeshwar. There was a group of friends to Talkeshwar. So he did 2 years there in Talkeshwar, in Gujarat. Then afterwards, Mufti Sahib told me that he didn't appreciate the way that the students were kind of treated. So he even mentioned that afterwards. For example, one of the great ulama that came, I won't mention the name now, one of the great zimmedars of Talkeshwar came, as Mufti Sahib told him, why was it that so much of brutality was done during the studies to the students. So that was an Indian type. Those times I'm speaking, I'm not speaking about now. But I'm speaking of all that for us to take lesson. So it is a scar. It was still a scar on him that how they about to treating the students. He was a great Mufti, alhamdulillah, and he became the Sayyid of Ulama here in Mauritius, and he was a reference for the islands. So, but still, he told me that he still had that scar in him, that how they treated the students those times. So he called the great alim from Talkeshwar, Anwar Zamindar. So he was retired already, the Talkeshwar principal. So asked him, why was it that you people treated the students like that? So Hazrat answered him that no, I never gave any order to do that. But then Mufti Sahib said, no, there's no use of doing that. That was his concept also, you see, that drive him to Lucknow also, and then finally to Jalalabad. That Harit Mufti Sahib, when he speak, for example, in Hibs Jalsa, he would say, no, don't force any student. Don't force your son. Don't force your daughter to become Hafiz. Encourage him and try to drive him with virtues and beauty of the Quran. And try to feed the child with compassion. That's how his belief. And alhamdulillah, Mufti Sahib after the Talkeshwar 2 years. So then afterward he went to 2 more years in Lucknow. So he decided to go on his own to Lucknow. But then afterwards he wasn't satisfied there also. So he told me that Lucknow, he felt like it was more a liberal. And then afterwards, he went to Jalalabad. And Jalalabad, he found the beauty of Islam and the beauty of Sunnah Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam through Hazrat Mawlana Masihullah sahab rahmatullah alayhi. So he told me also that the lighthouse of Jalalabad was that man, Sheikh Hazrat Masihullah sahab rahmatullah alayhi. So I'm talking about on his perspective. I'm not trying to misjudge or judge anybody. But you're doing a program here on Mufti Miran Sahib. So I'm talking about his words, his thoughts, and his experiences. So he told me when Hazrat Masihullah sahab rahmatullah alayhi passed away, that is a few years after he got farigh and he finished and he came Mauritius. Then after a few years when Hazrat passed away, he went back to visit his Darul Uloom, Jalalabad. So he told me that he found the Darul Uloom dark, black. There was no that noor, no more that noor. So his perspective that, you know, the lighthouse of Jalalabad was Hazrat Mawlana Masihullah sahab rahmatullah alayh. And that great sheikh with his qualities and sunnah enlightened the students, and he got alhamdulillah very closeness to the sheikh, and he's in fact he told me that once he was doing takrar means like you doing the lesson, revising the lesson at night with the other students. So when he was doing takrar at night with his colleagues, students, so he was speaking and he was explaining the lesson. So Masihullah sahab rahmatullah alayh went by the window with his murids and all that. So he listened to Mufti sahab, and Mufti sahab didn't know that Hazrat was there. So then Hazrat told his murids that Mufti Miran sahab, it wasn't Mufti that then, that I had wish that he had become a teacher here in Jalalabad. So that kind of istidad and capacity and ability that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala had given him, and he had sacrificed all that. This is the zuhud of exemplary zuhud that me, you, and we ulama should try to copy and try to emanate between us, in us, that he left many opportunities in his life, many glorious opportunities in his life, and he abandoned that, those ambitions, and he served the deen where it was necessary and needed, and there was almost very few to serve the deen of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala.
Respected listeners, we are speaking about the life of Mufti Rafiq Miran sahab rahimahullah, who was the Amir of the Jamiatul Ulama of Mauritius, and with us we have Mufti Ayub Makuji, who was a Farigh of Darul Uloom Zakaria, and Mufti sahab is now serving in Mauritius as well. Mufti sahab, when Mufti Miran sahab rahimahullah then after graduated and came to Mauritius, what were some of the services that he had done and some of the khidmat that he offered the people of Mauritius?
Now, you see, when Mufti sahab came down, when he went on the boat. I have to say that. The batch of students that was sent to India was on the boat. But when he came back by plane, alhamdulillah. So when he came back, he told me he came back with the great enthusiasm to serve the deen of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. He was single at the time, and he was very enthusiastic, very young. And because it was the, like everywhere, the way of thinking about the Sunnah of Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. So So that grouping of thinking of the Sunnah of Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, you tell them Sunnah Jama'at, or you tell them, you know, Barelvi, whatever. So that was Ghalib, that was mostly here in Mauritius. So when he came, that was his, you see, he believed that Bid'at, or misconception, innovation in the deen of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, are all the results of Jahala, ignorance. People don't know about the deen of Allah ta'ala. That is why there is Bid'at, that is why there is innovations, that is why there is all these misconceptions about the deen of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So to eradicate that, we need to educate the ummah, we need to educate the people. We need to teach them the Quran, teach them the Sunnah of Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, teach them about the fiqh of deen of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. He was a Pakka Hanafi and he was a Pakka Sunni, and he although he was graduated from Jalalabad, he was a Tablighi Mufti also. So once, I remember, he told me that he dreamt of Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam telling him, "So you are the one that is a Tablighi Mufti."
Subhanallah.
So young, he came back around 1979, and he started working. Well, when he started working, he was in his house still in Trioli, in that village I was talking about. So he was staying with his family. His mother was there, his brother was there, and sister. So they start asking, "So what is exactly your occupation, Rafiq? Because we see you, you do your salah. We see you, you take your books. We see you, you go down and meet people. So what is your occupation? We can't understand where you up in, what is your ambition?" So Hazrat Mufti Sahib answered them, the family, say, "You know, I want to be a good human being.
Subhanallah.
That is my ambition. That is my way and my quest is to be a good human being." So he told some colleagues that some people say, "No, we learn the deen of Allah Ta'ala to teach or to become such and such, or to achieve money or whatever profession, become an imam and become someone who will be a teacher." He said, "No, I learned the deen of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to cultivate the values of deen in me. That was my objective, my ambition for that." So in the beginning, I'm talking about the very beginning, so he didn't really starting to spread. So he was with his family. Then afterwards, he made hijrat from there, from that village, and he came to Port Louis. Port Louis, why? Because Port Louis is the concentrated area where Muslims were living. So he started there doing teaching and meeting people. He's a very, you see, Hazrat Mufti Sahib, until the last day he was alive, he was young, fit, jovial, that he would smile and meet people, and he enjoyed company of people. In fact, he told me once, you know, they were talking about, he was talking about a great sheikh in South Africa. You know, he eat only potatoes, and he stay away from social people, and he just, you know, making mutala and writing and all that. He said that, "You know what, Ayub, you know, I won't be able to live like that, away from the society, from meeting people, away from the family. I won't be able to do that. So I would die like that."
Allah.
His life was around people, meeting people, and talking about the deen of Allah Ta'ala, giving mashwara. People around him always taking his right and opinion about their career, or whatever decision they had to make in their lives. For example, one of the Shura brothers here in Tabligh, he mentioned once that, you know, in those times, I made Mashura with Mufti Sahib whether I should marry first or I should go for my 4 months first. So Mufti Sahib told me I should go for my 4 months first. So I did my 4 months and then I got married. And today, Alhamdulillah, Allah with his barakah, I'm the Shura of Mauritius. So he was always, Alhamdulillah, for example, some people were going in Jamaat and Mufti Sahib would just correct them, you know, before you put all your money and everything in Jamaat, please go for Hajj. Make your Hajj because this is Farz. This is very important, and this is Farz. And if you happen to die somewhere and you never went for Hajj, and you're in 4 months, whatever you are, then you'll be accused in front of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. You left out a faraiz. So he's the one who is Farih from Jalalabad. It is rare. Now this is a rare feature of Masjid Mufti Sahib, that he's a Jalalabadi, and he's a Tablighi also, and he's very jovial, and he meets with people, with ulama that is not from Jalalabad also, equally. And in this character that drove the Jamiat Ulama of Mauritius to be the pioneer of many activities here, and many and be a wall against many fitnas that could have happened. So Mufti Sahib, when he came back, he started working, and Alhamdulillah, he started. You see, he had a plan. First, he had to meet the ulama also. So he made khidmat of some ulama that time, the pioneer ulama that was sent him to India. So he made the khidmat. He started helping them in the hips class, in the masjid and all that. So and that time he called Muhammad Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam rahmatullah alayhi, in that hips jalsa. So he never told people, this is the simplicity of Mufti Sahib. He never told people he did iftar also there. He never told people that he's a mufti. He was just working, people were thinking, you know, he's a maulana, you know. So he didn't know his capacity also. So when Hazrat Masih Sahib rahmatullah alayhi came down in those years, in the beginning years, so Masih Sahib rahmatullah alayhi told Masih Mbara and all that, those pioneer ulama, you know, Mufti Sahib here, Mufti Miran Sahib, he studied very well here in our madrasa. He did iftar also, and he is a very able alim, mufti. So then ulama also knew, oh, now they knew that he's a mufti. So he's that humble, and he's that that personality that, you know, he won't force himself in. He's humble, and he won't say, you know, I'm a mufti, you know. He would tell me, for example, if somebody didn't recognize him and treated him oddly, someone from foreign came down and now he treated him oddly, thinking that maybe he's away from our Jamaat work or whatever. So he used to tell me afterwards, you know, that person, he didn't do good. Because me as a human being, he didn't treat me as a human being good. Now, leave alone I'm a mufti or not, but he should have treated me as a Muslim human being. So he, and one of the main wordings he used to say, that, you know, at Masallah Sahib Rahmatullah Alayhi, one of the last words and the last emphasis he used to make, he husne gufta, that tries to speak the best of words and the best of expression, also, to people, try to behave the best of expression. So Mufti Sahib, with this character that attracted people around him, alhamdulillah, and he built up a connection with the awam also, with the people of Mauritius also. See, he was, you see, to work in this condition, or people don't know the concept of a mufti also in those years. And to go and give lesson, tuition on Deen of Allah Ta'ala, that was done on a voluntary basis, that is, on a lilla filla. He wasn't paid for that. So he used to pay and his petrol and, you know, travel in his car and go to places like, 10, 20 kilometers from his place and deliver his speech there and try to keep contact with the awam also, with the, you know, with the layman also, and meeting the ulama also. So he was doing all that on his own, and from his own money, that whatever he was getting. So once he started to teach as a teacher, Islamic teacher in Islamic school, 1-2 years, and then afterwards he left that also. So there was some Libya connection also in the beginning. He was traveling up and down to Libya, but that also afterwards that was left, and he was left on himself. And on there, alhamdulillah, subhanahu wa ta'ala. So he used to tell me, you know, I don't need anything really from this dunya. I think this dunya is as old as an old lady that is now going to, you know, going to die. It is going to explode, it's going to finish. So what you need to do is to make the khidmat of deen. And yes, you can get a house, you know, you can get stable. When you don't have a house of your own, then, you know, you have to move somewhere. And he moved. He moved about 10 houses in his life. That is, in his tenancy, he used to rent house. So he moved a few houses, I mean, 10 houses around. So that was his main concern, to tell us, you know, not concerned about this dunya. Only just that, you know, if you get a house. But that also, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala didn't give him that. And he made the khidmat of deen of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Without this concern, he made the khidmat of deen of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And he kept going, alhamdulillah. And he bought a piece of land in the beginning. So then afterwards, he intended to build a house. So alhamdulillah, he told me that time, you know, he was working Libya and all that, so he could manage to get some funds and to do that. But then afterwards, after that, it so happened that, you know, in his house, in fact, I went to meet him before I came to study to Darim Zakaria. I came to went to meet her Mufti Sahib in his house. Now, how small is that house? You know, it's like, you know, two room house. Like, you know, two bedrooms, but one was for his mother, and one was for him, and the living room, the children were still sleeping there. He had 8 children, and he received me in a small piece, and we talked a bit about how to do in the Darulum and all that, with his advice that I went, alhamdulillah, to Darulum Zakaria, and with his barakah, alhamdulillah, that somehow we came to his sahbah afterwards. So that was his beginning years and his working and his sacrifice that he did for the deen of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Now, in that house, that was a very small house. He used to tell me, you know, another child came. So there was a place also for them to sleep. So one of them just, you know, he found himself there's no place in the room, so he just climbed over a small cupboard to sleep on there. So that kind of thing happened in his life, alhamdulillah. But after the Lord spoke, I gave him big houses also. And alhamdulillah subhanahu wa ta'ala, that's his family, because the family went through lots of difficulties because of the deen of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala.
Respected listeners, we are discussing the life of the Miran Sahib Rahmatullahi Alayhi, who passed away not very long ago, and he was one of the ulama of Mauritius. Obviously, we're listening to his life story, and if there's something that's standing out for us, and perhaps we all should take heed of, is the fact that Mufti Sahib Zuhad and his abstinence from this world. And just to note, it was optional. It wasn't that Mufti Sahib wasn't getting well paid or there wasn't enough funds, but it was something that Mufti Sahib opted for, as Mufti Ayub was saying, from when he was young, growing up, as he graduated as well and came to Mauritius, and you know. So these are some of the things that we learn from. The other aspect we learn from Mufti Saab was a people's person. Mufti Ayub was saying the fact that, you know, he was saying that he wouldn't be a person that would be an introvert, not mix with people. He would be somebody that would go out there, he would mix with the people, he would take, advise them, guide them. And also a person who was very humble in not wanting to tell people of what Allah Ta'ala had blessed him with. As an example, many never knew he was a Mufti. Others didn't even know that he had the Khilafah, meaning he would able to take people into spiritual mentorship from Hazrat Maulana Masihullah Rahmatullahi Alayhi. Only when Hazrat Maulana Masihullah Rahmatullahi Alayhi came to Mauritius, did he then tell the people with regards to the status of Mufti Miran Sahib Rahmatullahi Alayhi. Mufti Sahib, we discussed quite a few things. Perhaps another thing that we could discuss was some of the ibadat and the worship that Hazrat and the habits and the ma'amulat of Mufti Miran Sahib Rahmatullahi Alayhi.
Yes, of course. That was a wonderful life. And he was someone who inspired us, inspired all the Ulama, inspired our laymen also, and whoever he met. In fact, his life was a motivation, a Sunnah motivation. You see, a Mufti Sahib will wake up around 3 o'clock in the morning, he'll make his salah, make his dua. And he used to tell me that he make mutala also at that time, that is, he read his books, because the time is a perfect time. And he will make his salah and dua and mutala at that time, and then he will go for fajr. Now, you see, Hazrat Mufti Saab always took care about Jamaat in Masjid. Whatever masjid it belongs to our Sunni way, so he will go to those masjids. So whatever he found it, because the Jamaat was very important for him. So once I remember that, you know, he was on the way. So he said, no, let's do Jamaat here. So they were saying, no, it's not our masjid, you know. It's not our Tabligh masjid. So they were saying, no problem. At least we'll get the Jamaat of that masjid. So Hazrat Mufti Saab was always a Jamaat onlooker. And he told me about, 35 years at least, that his Jamaat and that Mr. Alhamdulillah. So before going to Fajr, you see, Hazrat Mufti Saab was always fit, Alhamdulillah, and young. His beard was almost black. I'm saying in his 66 years. So his beard was almost black. A few thread of white beard also, you'll see. And his hair was always black. So he never had really, you know, the issue of, you know, of
signs of old age on him.
Old age. He didn't have those issues. Although he had some heart problem, but Alhamdulillah, he was fit and he was young, and he was always, you know, energetic. He used to tell me that when he wakes up in the morning, it feels bad. I mean, his body, if he's pain and all that. He tell me, you know, Ayub, you have to do your own khidmah. You can't look for people's khidmah. You have to, you know, take your hand and press your leg yourself. Try to put it, fix it yourself, and try to make comfortable yourself. And then you go and you stand up and you do your ibadat. And you see, before going to Fajr, he used to walk. He used to walk, take a walk. So even if it's raining also, he would walk. So normally he would walk around his house. Sometimes he may be walking outside also, but mostly he would walk in his house, like, you know, on top of his house. He'd make rounds and rounds and rounds so that he became fit, Alhamdulillah. So walking was in his habit also, even during the day after Asr also. If he missed it, so he will do the walk. And he used to tell us, you know, when you do the brisk walking, then this is also ibadah. Like wuzu, you know, you make wuzu and then you make salah. wuzu is like the way through salah. So in this very way, to keep your body fit, to make ibadah, salah, and other ibadah, so you need to make your body fit. So your exercise, your bodily exercise, is a ibadah also, because it is a means for you to achieve good ibadah. So he used to walk also, and he used to make deep breathing. He breathe in and hold it, and then breathe out and hold it out. So this will, inshallah subhanahu wa ta'ala, improve the system in the body also. And in this time, in the morning before Fajr, all this will do good effect, alhamdulillah. Before he was going, so he would drink a spoon of olive oil, and before he leaves the house, normally he tells me that, you know, this has been the habit from his youth, that he take a few drops of olive oil and he puts it on his face and it's dead. So that maybe, inshallah ta'ala, was the secret of his youth, you know, his appearance and all that. So and then he'll walk to the masjid. He used to discourage us to take the car, you know, walk to the masjid, and then make fajr, and then he'll come home. After fajr, he'll come home, he'll do his nashta, breakfast. He used to choose brown roti, the family used to make for him. And afterwards, he would do his dhikr, because Mufti Sahib, you know, was very proud with his tilawat. You see, before he used to go out, for example, if I take him, you know, after Maghrib, after we had dinner, so if I take him to go for a ride in a car, so he would first ask me, where will we do Isha? The masjid, the Jamaat. So we had to situate that first in the plan. And then afterwards also he would read his Quran. So his tilawat was very important for him. Particularly in the morning also, and then after Zuhr also, and at night also. So he would read freely, one para and one half para, and he would read audibly. And you know, it's not hastily, it's not quickly, but in a tone that you can understand, and a very plausible tone. So he would read his Quran and he would do his dhikr. Now, you see, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was very close to him, but as far as I can remember, he didn't give him any khilafat, but he was so close to him that Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa used to take him, you know, in the field there in Jalalabad, and tell him, you know what, Rafiq, I will give such and such person from South Africa, I'll give them khilafat, and such person, I will not give them khilafat. So this type of information was given to him. He was that close to Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. It's like 3 days he stayed with him in the room, like his khidmat and all that. But he got his khilafat Shah Hakim Akhtar Sahib, and he was doing his majlis and all that through the dhikr, alhamdulillah. So, Hazrat Mufti Miran Sahib, he was concerned about his jamaat, his tilawat, his dhikr, and also he used to tell us, you know, before you go out, before you take the children out, so try to finish your hizb of Quran, and then you go out, so that, you know, you'll be free. And also, alhamdulillah, at Mufti Sahib, he used to be very in his safar also. He never missed tahajjud. He's traveling also. Tahajjud he never used to miss. So he, after his dhikr and all that, and afterwards, he would lie down or rest, and then because he had to go to the office afterwards, and then he would wake up, and then he should have done his ishraq and chast. And then he'll go to the office, and then mix with the ulama and teach them. And you know, I benefited a lot from him, alhamdulillah. From I used before he passed away, a few weeks before he passed away. So I sat with him in the masjid. I told him, like Mufti Saab, you know, I wear your spectacles and then I write. I wear your spectacles and then I give fatwa. That is, whatever he has taught me, alhamdulillah, has benefited me a lot. But alhamdulillah, I see myself like, you know, it is a feed from him. I'm inspired from him that whatever I write, whatever I give fatwa, is from his barakah, alhamdulillah. So Hayat Mufti Saab, alhamdulillah, and he used to teach us from his experience, because he did lots of mutala and of Shami. Many times he did khatam of Shami, and alhamdulillah, he knew his fatawa and he knew his kitabs and all that, alhamdulillah. And so he benefited us a lot, alhamdulillah, in that respect. And then he will go for his zuhr, he go for his food and zuhr, and after zuhr he'll keep reading his Quran, and after that, if he's got work more, he'll come back office and do his work, or else he'll give you some qailula also. And then after asr, now he will be mostly at home. He'll be mixing with his wife and children. Now, this aspect I have to say, because this is the very moderate from the Mufti Saab. He used to be very attached to his family, with his children, with his wife, alhamdulillah, because, you see, he believed like the sunnah of being close to people. It brings up the sunnah of being close to your family. So even after traveling also, he's in rest until he reach home and be with his family, with his children. And his children also, that is part of the peculiarity of Mufti Saab. His children also, even after getting married, even after getting, you know, being independent and all that, they used to come to Mufti Saab's house. Say, no, we have to see our father. Because he was someone who was like, you know, nourishing and, you know, and was the feeding of love and compassion and to everyone around him. So they used to be with his company also. And Mutala was there also, that he used to read books also. Wherever he would travel, wherever he would go around the island also, he would take a book with him, one, two books. In the beginning when I came in junior, so he told me, you know, Ayub, you have to make something, how to put books with adabs, with respect in the car. Try to make something, you know, you can put the books in there, one, two books, so that, you know, you can read it wherever you are. Don't waste your time. So Matala, being in contact with the book, and because if you're a Mufti, then you need to answer people. You know, people look forward to question you. And if you don't know your work, then you won't be able to answer. So he was someone who, alhamdulillah, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has chosen him for that, and he used to write. And once he told me, you know, I traveled a few places in the island with the children, so I took my books also, I took my small papers also. So he would write in those papers. And one peculiarity of Mufti Saab is that he used to respect papers. That is, any paper, because it was a means of education. So he would say that, you know, this is a means of education, you can't throw it. So he had a bin special for his crush paper, whatever, you know, or those papers that it was prepared and wasn't being used afterwards. So how he would throw him, he would put it in a special bin, and then afterwards that bin would be, you know, they would take those papers to burn it afterwards. So that kind of respect. When he used to be step in my car also, my van, so he would tell me, you know, there's a piece of paper that he'll pick it up and he'll put it up. You know, whatever it is. Even if it's a receipt of supermarket also, he'll take it and put it up. So no, paper shouldn't be down. So the kind of respect he had for paper, alhamdulillah. And afterwards, after Maghrib, he'll have his dinner also. And finally, after Isha, normally he would go to a place to make a program. So he'll target his Isha, maybe 30, 40 kilometers from his home, in the masjid where he'll make a program. So like each day, he would fix himself in a masjid, and he would do it like almost a year. He would finish that the course or whatever tuition, you know. In this way, alhamdulillah, he'll come home a bit late after Aisha. So after program, he normally sits with the laymen, time for them to ask him questions, time for them to interact with him. And in this way, in this respect, I think that interaction after the program built up many masjids. Because he believed that more masjids in a locality, of course, at a reasonable distance, will make it easy for all Muslims to get salah. So like, you see, there was a shop here,
come out of time. I think we just needed to stop here. So we've already come up to 10 o'clock. Allah Ta'ala reward you. Amazing program. Perhaps in the near future, inshallah, we could look at one, two other ulama and seniors from the area. But we would like to acknowledge your input this evening, and we say Jazakallahu Khaira.
Alhamdulillah, I just finished the. How has Mufti Saab passed away?
Mufti Saab.
A few moments of house. So finally, you see, Mufti Saab came after the program on Thursday night. So he came home and he was feeling well. He called a doctor. Doctor told him, you know, your blood pressure is very low. So he just went up on his house, made wuzu, sat on his musalla, started making dhikr. So he was as if like, you know, he's prepared to eject himself from this dunya. Make wuzu, started some dhikr. His son heard him, just unconscious, you know, fell unconscious, then they took him to hospital. And he already passed away in Mecca. So, in dhikr, in wuzu, that was the qibla, that's how Mufti Saab passed away. He was really someone who merited that kind of mode. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala bless him, give him jannah, inshallah, make dua for us that we can emanate and put in us all these good qualities.
Ameen. Jazakallah, Mufti Saab.
Ameen.
That was Mufti Ayub Makujid, Zaman Barakatuhum, from Mauritius, speaking about Mufti Miran Saab, Rahmatullahi Alayh. We're going to take the news now, but after the news, please don't go away. We have Qari Salim Sirat, who's well known for his nazams and his singing. Mufti Saab will be speaking to us with regards to his interaction and his experiences with Mufti Miran Saab. It's about 10 minutes, the clip, or just maybe a little under that. After the news, inshallah, it will be played. So we're going to take, as requested, listeners, please stay tuned. We say Jazakallah to Brother Usama, and from myself, Ubaidullah Boja. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. Nahmaduhu wa nusalli ala rasulihi al-Kareem. Amma ba'd. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh to all the listeners of Radio Islam International. First of all, I would like to thank Almighty Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and the Radio Islam International for giving me this opportunity to say a few words and to derive benefits and lessons from the life of my beloved Ustad, Hazrat Mufti Rafiq Miran Sahab, Rahmatullah Alayh. Maulana, it was so far the saddest moment of my life when I and all of us received the news of the passing away of our beloved Hazrat Mufti Rafiq Miran Sahab, Rahmatullah Alayh, on the night of Jum'ah, 21st Dhul Hijjah, 1440 Hijri, corresponding to the 22nd of August, 2019. I was personally very close to Mufti Saab. I know Mufti Saab since 1988 as my Ustad. Mufti Saab was a sincere wali of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. He was a beloved follower of the sunnah of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Mufti Saab was one of the greatest authorities of tasawwuf in our times. Mufti Saab resembles lot to his sheikh, Mawlana Masihullah Khan Saab, rahmatullah alayhi. Mawlana, one thing was unique in Mufti Saab's lectures. Hazrat used to diagnose the spiritual degeneration in which the Ummah is caught up today. And he used to provide the cure for it. And of course, only from Quran and Hadith. Mufti Saab always used to advise us to make mutala'a and make our islah. Mufti Saab was like a father to us. He used to call us beta. Beta means son. Everything what he will tell us, he used to tell us, beta, do this, beta, listen to this. Mufti Saab's character was outstanding. He was soft, loving, affectionate, and tolerant. Even if we do any mistake, Mufti Saab will never scold us. On the other hand, he will explain us, give us guidance how to reform ourselves. No matter how much a person may have hurt Mufti Saab or accused him, Mufti Saab would always make dua for the person. You know, Mawlana, Mufti Saab never had love, muhabbat, for this world. He used to love only his akhirat. And he used to tell us, never love anybody in this world more than your akhirat. Never love anybody in this world more than your akhirat. Mufti Saab was not attached to this world. Mufti Saab had no interest in nice clothes, nice foods, nice house. Mufti Saab's only interest was his kitab, his books. If someone was going overseas for holiday and he asked Mufti Saab, what to bring for you, Mufti Saab? And Mufti Saab would say, bring this kitab or that kitab. That was his only interest. Mufti Saab used to do so much of mutala'a that he knew Shami almost by heart. Subhanallah. Fiqh and usul fiqh was Mufti Saab's cup of tea. Even Mufti Saab's, if he is going on a short journey, even if Mufti Saab is going on a short journey, Mufti Saab will always take a kitab with him. If he gets the chance, he make mutala'a. You know, Mawlana, the amazing things with Mufti Saab is every day. Mufti Saab's day used to begin with tahajjud and du'as. And Mufti Saab used to stay in the state of wudu at all times. Mufti Saab used to read 3 paras of the Quran every day. And Mufti Saab won't go to sleep until he finishes all his dhikrullah, his ma'mulat. That was his habit, Mawlana. You know, Mawlana, Mufti Saab was a person extremely humble, down to earth. Mufti Saab did not like to use the title Mufti before his name, unless there was a need. Mufti Saab used to prevent his close ones also from writing the title Mufti before his name. That's how particular he was. Mufti Saab was so pious that not once, but many times, Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam came in Mufti Saab's dream. Before his demise also, Mufti Saab narrated a dream to one of his close friends amongst the ulama, in which Mufti Saab had the chance of hugging Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam in the dream. Mawlana, Mufti Saab spent 42 years of his life propagating the deen of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala through various ways. He works in the Jamiatul Ulama of Mauritius without any salaries. His tawakkul was such that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will provide. And really, whenever Mufti Saab needed something, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala used to provide for him. Until the last day of Mufti Saab's life in this world, Mufti Saab was giving lectures in the masajid. Even on the night of Mufti Saab's demise, Mufti Saab gave his last lecture after Isha Salah, and amongst his last advices were practice on the faraz, wajib, sunnah muakkada, and refrain from haram. One can become a wali of Allah. Remain steadfast on daily tilawatul Quran. Remain steadfast on daily tasbihat. Abstain from sins at all cost. After the bayan, Muftisab went to his house. In a state of wudu, Muftisab started to make dhikr in his room when suddenly he collapsed and passed away on the Mubarak night of Jum'ah. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala enable us to follow the Mubarak footsteps of this great and pious personality till our last day and grant us a Mubarak death similar to our Hazrat Rahmatullah alayhi. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala make the maghfirat of Muftisab and grant Muftisab the highest of stages in Jannatul Firdaus. Ameen. Wa akhiru da'wana an alhamdulillahi rabbil alameen. Jazakumullahu khayran wa ahsanul jazaa.